Please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 13, the 13th Psalm. Psalm 13, a Psalm of David. And we read verse 1, Psalm 13, verse 1. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? And our subject this evening is, why does God delay? Why does God delay? Well, we come this evening to this 13th Psalm, and this is another psalm of David. Of course, David is the writer of the majority of the psalms, but last week we looked at Psalm 8, which was a psalm of David, of course, a psalm of praise and worship, considering the nature of man and the glory of God in comparison to man. And David was asking that question, what is man that thou art mindful of him, that you should think upon him or consider him? And of course, God does not need to think about us at all or to consider us or to save us. He doesn't have to do that. He is so much greater than us. He is all sufficient. He has no need of us at all. He is everlasting, infinite, and all glorious. And yet this is the wonder of God. This reveals the heart of God to us. He does consider us. He has set his love upon us, and we will reign in him, in Christ. We will have dominion over creation. Remember, man was given dominion over creation right at the start, in the beginning with Adam. But he lost it. His dominion over the earth was diminished because of his sin. So how can it be restored, man's dominion upon the creation? Well, it is restored through Christ, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. One day all things will be put under his feet. He will have power and dominion over all things. And because he will have power and dominion, we will also have power and dominion, because we will be in him, all those who trust in him, of course. So that is how man's dominion is restored. Or in other words, humanity is only fully realized in Christ. Mankind is only fully realized in Christ. Mankind can only reach its full potential in Christ. And that was the great theme of Psalm 8. So our Lord and Savior is magnified in that psalm. But here in Psalm 13, well, David is now bringing to the Lord a cry for deliverance, a cry to the Lord in time of great need, of great despondency. And there are, of course, a number of psalms that are like this, that have this same theme, the crying out to God in time of need. There are many psalms. Each psalm will have its own character and its own particular way of expressing its longing and their trouble and their need. And we will look at several of those psalms as we go through in due course. But we consider this 13th psalm, first of all, a psalm of David, and we're not entirely sure exactly when David wrote this psalm, what time of his life. Commentators make their various speculations, of course. Dr. John Gill speculates that this is David writing when he is fleeing, but not from Saul. You know that he spent much time fleeing from Saul, but John Gill believes this is when he is fleeing from Absalom, his son. Many of you will know that David's own son turned against him with a desire to seize the throne for himself, And he marched on Jerusalem, forcing David, his father, to flee the city. And it is perhaps in the midst of this particular trial that David writes this psalm under inspiration, of course, of the Holy Spirit. But that is speculation. We will, of course, take these words in a general fashion and apply them to ourselves, to our own struggles, so that we can truly learn from this psalm, be challenged by this psalm, but also be comforted by these words before us this evening. So let us consider, first of all, this first verse. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? So there is a significant time that has passed when David has been in a particular situation, in this particular trial. This trial has obviously been a lengthy one, and over many days and weeks and months. And so this complaint that David lifts up to the Lord is in some ways justifiable. It is, it's not as though as soon as the trial comes upon David, then he makes his complaint. No, he is more long-suffering than that. And this, just right from the very outset, this is something that we ought to take as an example or as a lesson to us. We ought to make note of David's attitude. There is a complaint being raised here, presented to the Lord, but there is also patience in David's complaint. He has been very patient already. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Yes, there is a complaint, but it's raised up in patience. That's a lesson to us. We live in a society with very little patience. If we have a problem, if we have a difficulty, a trial, we want it removed straight away. We want it removed immediately. That's the way of the world around us. But the Christian is to be a little more like David, more long-suffering, more patience in trial, more endurance in trial. And you can see that coming through even in these opening words. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? We're seeing the good side of David here. He is bringing that complaint, but he has been patient. He has already been long-suffering, and that is to be the attitude of Christians. Not as soon as a problem comes into our lives, we cry out in despair. No, we are to be those who are long-suffering. But he does most certainly have a sense that he has waited so long that he feels as though God has forgotten him. And perhaps even worse than forgotten him, abandoned him. He feels as though he has been abandoned by God. How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? The hiding of God's face was associated with judgment, and even in a sense being cursed of the Lord. And this is the strength of the words here. The Lord has abandoned me. The Lord is judging me, as it were. I have lost his favor. And this is a terrible tragedy for David. He longs for fellowship once again with God. He wants to know the smile of God once again upon him, that blessing, that rich blessing, because this is such a great tragedy for anybody to have the Lord's face hidden from them. Well, this is so sad. Again, let me just point out, this reflects well on David. This is a sign of a true believer, always longing for fellowship with God, always longing to know the smile and blessing of the Lord upon him. The world, of course, has no such longing. The world around us, the unbeliever, the world doesn't care about fellowship with God. They don't want to know him at all. That's the world. They don't care if they have fellowship with God. But how different we ought to be. We ought to care so much about our relationship with the Lord, our personal relationship with the Lord. We ought to desire every day to be in his presence. And if we miss, for example, a time of prayer in a day, if we miss a time of devotion, well, we are grieved, we are sorrowful, we are like David. We don't want to be outside of the fellowship of God. We don't want to spend a long time not having that smile upon us and that blessing upon us. We are grieved when this happens to us. We are pained, and we ought to be pained. A true believer must have that fellowship with the Lord at all times. You see, these words, even though they are complaints or lamentations, well, it just shows how much David delighted in his God. It shows how much David delighted in his God, because he's so grieved that he feels far from God. So this is so very important, and I mention these things just in passing. But is this true? Has God forgotten David? Has God forsaken David in a judgmental way? Has God forsaken him forever? How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? Has the Lord deserted him, and will he never come back? Well, of course not. Of course not. The Lord, if we belong to the Lord never forsakes his people, never forgets his people. But sometimes, and I'm sure I've mentioned this on previous occasions, sometimes it is God's will to make us feel as though we have been forsaken, to give us the impression that we have been forsaken. So God never actually forsakes us. He never actually forgets us, but it is his will to make us feel as though he has. That is his will, and it is the Lord's will to delay his blessing. How long wilt thou forget me? It's the Lord's will to delay his answers to our cries for so long. This is his will. And so then the question is posed, well, why? Why is this the will of God? Why is he doing this to David? Why does he sometimes do it to any of us? Perhaps there are some here, or perhaps many of us, all of us here, we can empathize with David. We have felt the same thing as David. How long, O Lord, wilt thou forget me? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? So this is why I've given the title, Why Does God Delay? And let me endeavor to answer this question in some measure at least this evening. Well, first of all, why does God delay? Well, it is to increase our sense of need. It's to increase our sense of need of God, to show us how much we need him, to show us how helpless we are without God. That is why God delays. This needs to be shown over a period of time. Over a period of time, we need to learn how helpless we are without the Lord, so that we learn to depend on him more than we ever did before. This is why God delays. And this is how the Lord is dealing with David. We consider verse 2. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Well, we'll take this verse bit by bit. Those words, how long shall I take counsel in my soul? Now, that really gives the sense, or this is the picture that's being presented by these words. How long shall I take counsel in my soul? David is desperately seeking counsel or wisdom within himself. It's as though he's in this trial, this great difficulty, and he's constantly trying to figure out ways to get himself out of it. But it's with himself. He's taking counsel with himself. He's debating with himself. Should I do this? Should I do that? So many ideas run into his mind. Maybe if I take this option or this way or that alternative, maybe if I try this, then my problem will disappear. Because he doesn't feel the presence of God, he is trying to work it out by himself, and it doesn't work. Nothing works. Everything that he tries to come up with, well, it always fails. None of his own schemes are working. And this is adding to his despair. He's in a fix. He's in a problem. Of course, instinctively, we want to solve our own problems. But he is failing at every possible juncture. And John Calvin, the commentator, he puts it like this very wonderfully. He likens David's situation here to a man who is sick and he cannot find any comfortable position to lie to ease his pain. You know, sometimes when you are sick, this is how we are restless. Maybe if I lie this way, I'll get to sleep, and then you can't get to sleep. Maybe if I lie another way, I'll get to sleep. You can't. Every way that you try, every position, you can't get to sleep. This is David's position here. He's taking counsel in his soul. How can I rid myself of this problem? But nothing is working. He's like a sick man trying to find a comfortable position, and he cannot find it. And why is God doing this to him? Well, it is, of course, so that he looks entirely to the Lord, not to himself any longer. This situation is so difficult. I am so helpless. This situation is beyond my control. Lord, I look to thee. You see, the Lord wants to give us that greater sense of need, that greater appreciation of the Lord's help. Lord, I realize now how much I do need thee. I do need thee. And that takes time for us to learn that. We are so independent. We so often want to go our own way in our lives and think we know better than the Lord. But the Lord has to teach us that your counsel in your own heart, in your own mind, is not sufficient. You have to cry unto the Lord and draw nearer to him. And so this is why the Lord delays at times. He wants to give us that greater sense of need to lean upon him more, to depend upon him more, in fact, to depend upon him entirely, rather than trying to sort it out yourself. The Lord wants us to draw nearer to him. So that's the first reason why God delays. But then we have the second reason, even in that verse 2. And God delays to show us, he delays to show us our true character or the depth of our sins. So verse 2 again. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Now, no doubt David would have had physical enemies in his mind when writing this psalm, those who were looking to take his life. But let's apply it to us as Christians. This reminds us, of course, of our spiritual enemies. How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Our spiritual enemies, in other words, our sins. And particularly those besetting sins that we have. You know, when you come to Christ, when you are saved, many of you will know this, I'm sure. When we come to Christ, there are some sins in our lives that disappear immediately. They go, some vices, maybe some bad habits that we had as unsaved people. When we are saved, some of them will go immediately to encourage us. The Lord shows us that His Holy Spirit is truly in us, that we are truly saved. It encourages us in that way. But then there are some sins that continue to trouble us. And they continue to trouble us for a long time. How long? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? This sin that is in my life, this besetting sin, and you pray and you pray and you pray to the Lord. Lord, remove these things. I know that this thing in my life is sinful, I know that it hurts me, it hurts those around me. Help me, O Lord. You pray to the Lord to remove these things, whatever it is. It could be pride, it could be lust, it could be lying, and it doesn't seem to get any better. And you pray to the Lord, Lord, have you forgotten me? Lord, what is happening? Lord, how long shall I try my own efforts to get rid of this sin? How long shall I take counsel in my own soul daily? What is happening, O Lord? Why does God leave us in this state? Well, in answer to that, I'm turning now to the Baptist Confession of Faith, which is, of course, a wonderful document, and what we hold to as a church here at East Dulwich. Now, this has the best explanation, far better than I could give you. The Baptist Confession of Faith, chapter 5 and section 5. Listen to these words. The most wise, righteous, and gracious God often leaves for a time his own children to various temptations and to the corruptions of their own hearts in order to chastise them for the sins which they have committed, or to show them the hidden strength of corruption and deceitfulness still in their hearts, so that they may be humbled and aroused to a more close and constant dependence upon God Himself for their support, and that they may be made more watchful against future occasions of sin. That's why God delays. God delays so we can see the hidden strength of corruption and deceitfulness still in our hearts. God wants to show us that, lest we think that perhaps we were better than we thought we were. Perhaps we thought that, well, God doesn't really have to do much of a job on me. I'm almost perfect. Once I come to the Lord, once I'm saved, well, it'll only be a very short time and I'll be wonderfully perfect. Maybe that's what we think as young believers when we're saved. I'm not really that bad. The Lord shows us. He shows us the hidden corruption in us so we can realize how bad we really were. And how gracious God is to us in saving us. How gracious He is. Am I really that bad? Yes, I am. And yet the Lord has taken me in. He has saved me. He is dealing with me. He's working with me. This is why He delays those sins in our lives that we struggle with and we cry out to the Lord for. How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? Is to show us the depth of our sin, to humble us increasingly, to remove any pride that we may have had, to remove any mistaken idea that we had about ourselves. We're to live in truth about God, in truth about ourselves. And so the Lord reveals that truth to us, but He has to delay at times. How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? There is divine purpose in all of this. This is wonderful to see. It may seem to David and to the rest of us that God forgets us, but actually the Lord is dealing with us in a very real way. So this is why the Lord will delay. But look at verse 3. Consider and hear me, O Lord my God. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. And my second heading really is the Lord can restore. The Lord can restore. David is in the depths. He is, he describes it here, lest I sleep the sleep of death. It's almost as though David feels that at this very point, he's as good as dead. He's a dead man walking. He doesn't feel he can go on. He doesn't have any energy, doesn't have any motivation, doesn't have any hope. And yet, well, he does have some faith. He knows that the Lord can revive him. Lighten mine eyes. That's a turn of phrase that really means restore me. Restore the vigor of life in me. David, even despite his condition, he knows that God can raise the dead. And of course, we see that in the New Testament, don't we? The Lord can raise the dead. He can revive that which is flagging. He can revive a flame that is about to be snuffed out. We may feel that we can't go on. We may feel so weak spiritually, so far from God, about to expire, as though our prayer life is about to die. Our hope of ever walking well with the Lord is about to die. But remember this, our hope can be restored and revived. Most certainly it can. This is what the Lord is able to do. He can revive a dying individual, somebody on the point of spiritual death, somebody at a low ebb spiritually. He can revive you. He can lighten your eyes. Of course he can. An individual, a church, a dying church. Well, you consider the history of this church, East Dulwich Tabernacle. How many times in the history of this church, when you read the book that the Conways very kindly prepared for us, how many times was the church at the point of dying? Almost about to give up, almost about to close the door. There's only two or three people here. You may as well just pack it up and give in. Well, if a church is dying, dear friends, it does not mean it will definitely die. God is able to revive it and to restore it, to lighten the eyes and to bless it greatly even. And this is the hope that David has here. Lighten mine eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Yes, he's in a low point. He's in a pit of despair. But this is the hope that he has. And again, this is why the Lord delays. Why does the Lord delay? To help us. Because he wants to show us how he can revive even the lost cause. He wants to show us that. So yes, he may allow an individual to get to a very low point. He may allow a church to get to a very low point. Why, Lord? Because he's going to show us how he is going to revive it. And revive it perhaps even better than it was before. That's why he delays. This is the wonder and the glory of God. And so verse 4. David, well, he prays here, restore me, lest I sleep the sleep of death. But why? What is the great reason here that he gives in verse 4? Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. So this is the great reason, and the reason really is the honor of God. Lord, revive me. Lord, I'm in a pit, but help me. Why? Well, because if you do not, my enemy and your enemy, O Lord, will say, I have prevailed against David. And if they say, I have prevailed against David, they will surely say, I have prevailed against the God of David. So it's for the Lord's honor. Lord, bless me. Lord, deliver me. Lord, come to my aid, because your honor is at stake. You know, one of the commentators I read put it this way, just in the same way that when one sinner is saved, one sinner is brought to repentance, there is rejoicing amongst the angels of heaven. We know that very well. One sinner saved, there is rejoicing amongst the angels of heaven. But in the same way, when one Christian or one believer falls, there is rejoicing amongst the sinners on earth. And this is really the thrust of what David is saying. If I fall, if my enemies prevail over me, well, what will they think of the living God, of the true and living God? They will think they have defeated God himself. Lord, protect me for your own reputation, for your own glory. You know, this is how we ought to pray. And I've said this many times, I'm sure. When we are struggling, It helps not to think just of ourselves, our own reputation, our own happiness, our own joy. You think of the Lord. Lord, help me. If somebody sees me, if my family and my friends see me in such a despondent state, in such an unhappy state, in such a weak state, a defeated state, what will they think of the Lord? What will they think of the living God? Lord, for your reputation, for your glory, help me. It's about him. It's about his glory. Because we are all ambassadors for Christ. We're all witnesses unto him. Lord, help me overcome this sin, this struggle, for the sake of Christ, for the sake of the Lord, to glorify his name. And this is really David's plea here. Lest mine enemy say, I have prevailed against him, and those that trouble me rejoice when I am moved. He's thinking of the Lord and the Lord's glory. God's honor is bound up with the deliverance of his people. And David knows that very well. But finally, we come to verses 5 and 6. But I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Well, again, we see faith. We see the faith of David. I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. And when we see this, this is a point we ought to not overlook. I've mentioned many times, David is very low here. He's very despondent. But he also has faith. And this is the point that I want to make. You know, despondency and faith can coexist. You can have both at the same time. Sometimes people think that if they're not strong all the time, and if they're not joyous all the time, then they have no faith. Then they start even questioning their own salvation. Am I even a believer? Because I struggle with this and because I struggle with that. But the evidence of this psalm, at least, and many other psalms, you can be despondent and have faith at the same time. You can have both. They can coexist. This is what we see here. David, at the start, remember, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord, forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Despondent in the pits. And then verse 5, I have trusted in thy mercy. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I will sing unto the Lord. Words of faith. Dear friends, I have to put it this way. Despondency and faith, you can have both, dear friends. It doesn't mean you're not saved. It doesn't mean you were never saved. Your testimony is wrong. You can have both. And we very often do have both, don't we? But David, well, he believes, he trusts in the mercy of God. He trusts in the salvation of God. He knows that the Lord will save him. He knows that the Lord will not cast him off forever. He feels that way, but by faith he knows that the Lord will not cast him off forever. And that is, of course, true for us. That's the hope of every saint, every believer. We will not be cast off forever. Of course, we deserve to be cast off forever. This is what we deserve. Do we not? Because of our sins, because of what we have done, we deserve to be cast off forever, to be eternally forsaken of God. That is what we deserve, but that is what we have been saved from. Christ has saved us from that. And so we have a greater hope, as it were, than David did. We can see our hope fully and clearly. We deserve to be cast off forever, but we know we will not, because we have Christ. He was cast off forever in our place. He was forsaken. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? We know that he did it for us, our substitute, our scapegoat. So we will never be forsaken forever. Even though we may feel like it, we know that Christ has entered into history. He has died for us truly. And so we know. We do have, like David at the end here, we do rejoice in our salvation, and we will sing unto the Lord, and we do sing because God has dealt bountifully with us, exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, because of the riches of God's grace toward us. That's how we see it. We see it in greater light now because of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, dear friends, there is so much to rejoice in, even though this is a psalm of despondency for most part. Well, we look at those final two verses, and doesn't it lift up our hearts that we have a far greater hope, as it were, in the New Testament age? David could see it, of course, by faith, but we have greater cause to rejoice because we know our dear Saviour. May the Lord bless these words to us. The Lord will delay at times, but all will be well in the end.